This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Father, we give you glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Christmas. This morning, I'll be speaking with us briefly on changing the narrative. Changing the narrative. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in a situation, in a position that is not where we want to be, but that is just where we found ourselves. We find ourselves in a relationship that shouldn't be. We find ourselves in the company of friends that we shouldn't be friends with. People that we will look at ourselves and we think, why am I friends with these people? What do we have in common? Sometimes, like the prodigal son, we find ourselves in a location that suddenly we come to ourselves and we say, what am I doing here? Maybe in a country, we find yourself in a country, could be Russia, it could be America. Just sit down and say, let's face, what am I doing here? You find yourself in a business that you have no business being in. And you ask yourself, what am I doing in this business? I know I'm not alone in saying that there are times where you find yourself in a place where others will be comfortable, but it is not a comfortable place for you. People will tell you, oh, but this person is doing the same business, this person is doing well. Or that person, that was how she got married, she's doing well. And you will just feel, this is not for me. This is not for me. This, I don't feel comfortable. And the one thing you must never do is live your life in discomfort. Life is meant to be lived in comfort. When I say comfort, I necessarily don't mean material things. I mean, you should be at ease in your own skin. So live your life and wake up in the morning and know that you are in the right place at the right time. Jacob, for example, was with Laban and was not comfortable. You know, when you are working for a boss and every day you wake up in the morning, you are sighing. You are like, grumbling, complaining. Why am I suffering like this? I work hard. I cannot feed my wife. I cannot feed my children. Why am I working hard like this from morning till night? Why am I laboring? And this is what you are saying every day. It means you are not living your life the right way. It is not in the abundance of material things. It is in the comfort. Am I living my life in ease? Am I at ease the way I'm living my life? Do I feel comfortable? Am I enjoying my life? And when I say enjoying, again, not in the local Nigerian sense, where people think enjoying their life is going out to eat and drink. No, that means when I wake up in the morning till when I sleep at night, am I at ease in my own skin? Am I enjoying my life? Or am I in this world and every blessed moment I'm thinking, why am I here? A person in a bad vocation or a bad job, or a person that is studying a course that you know you don't want to study, you know, you're in the university, you are studying medicine, you are studying veterinary medicine or advanced mathematics, but your heart wants to paint or your heart wants to do music. So going to class is a chore, it's tedious. You just do it because others are doing it. You derive no joy. A person in a forced marriage I remember speaking with one of my sisters years back. She came to see me with her husband. The husband was sick, had this growth on his neck. And this sister, she dragged this man and she said, "Oh, let's go and see Baraminga." So they came to my office in Magodo. And the two of them sat side by side. I sat opposite them. And the husband, she was the one that spoke. So she spoke first about the desire of the family to relocate to another country, that they have dropped their passport at a particular embassy, and they haven't gotten their passports back. And when she said that to me, I said, "Okay, let us pray about those passports that you may get them back." And then I said, "Oh, join your hands with the husband." So she joined her hands with the husband, and I laid my hands on her shoulder and on the shoulder of her husband. As I was about to pray with them, I noticed that there was a third guy. I noticed immediately there was a third guy, a third man. So I was like, "Wow." I said, "Oh, sorry, I cannot pray for you yet. I need to speak with your wife alone. My brother, please, can you excuse us for 2 minutes?" So then the husband stepped out. Then I told the sister to sit down. And I said to her, "I just want to confirm something. Is that your husband?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Who is this other man that I saw as soon as I laid my hands on your shoulder?" And she was like, "Oh, I mean, I said, "What is it?" She said, "Please sit down. This may take a while." And she said, "Well, when I was in SS1, this is my husband and his people. They came to my family to talk to my family about marrying me. And they promised that they would sponsor me through school. So my father accepted, my mother accepted, and they let me know that I was going to marry him, but that he would be the one taking care of my education going forward. So he began to take care of my education. But then I got to school and I met a guy on campus and I really liked the guy. He was more my kind of person. You know, my husband is not so educated, but this guy is educated. We think alike, we talk alike. So I fell in love with this guy." And then you see the problem. She had found herself in a quagmire. That falling in love with somebody she wouldn't have met if not because her husband sent her to school. So there was an obligation on behalf from her family to the husband's family. She couldn't break the obligation. So then she was married. And then she was also with a lover. And nobody knew it. I've been married to her husband for many years, and she and the guy kept in touch. And now, because she wanted to stop that relationship, but she didn't know how, she decided that they should relocate. And maybe if she puts distance between herself and that guy, and she and her husband goes far away, maybe she will be able to help herself from always going back to her lover's arms. That is a very uncomfortable situation for anybody to find themselves. That is not how to live your life. Every time afraid that somebody may check your phone, afraid when the call comes into your phone, you are with your husband, your heart is longing to be with another. You are with the other, you are afraid your husband may call. It is not a good place to put yourself. It is not the kind of narrative that you desire. With Jacob, after 20 years of enduring a particular narrative, which was that it was a success at work, but it was a failure at wages. He knew the onus of his work. He was excellent in the discharge of the work committed to his hand. The Bible said, through him, Laban prospered. You can realize that it was my sweat that is making this man prosper. But I had no option because of my obligation to him. I'm married to his daughters. I'm having his grandchildren. And he kept treating me like a second class citizen. And his own children were the ones benefiting of my wealth. Every time I have a profit, he gives my profit to his children who are doing nothing. So Jacob wanted to change the narrative. And Jacob decided he would do it by running away. It was the wrong way to do it. But when you want to run, when you want to dislodge yourself from oppression, nobody can tell you how to do it. When South Africa was under the yoke of apartheid and they wanted to be free at all costs, they didn't want to keep serving the same master. They tried many tactics. They tried advocacy. They tried activism. Eventually, they tried sabotaging government facilities, terrorism, so that their voices could be heard. They tried music. They sang songs of freedom from north to south, from Johannesburg, Pretoria, Soweto. They sang their songs, reached the international ears. People were screaming. Why? Because they wanted to change the narrative. They were tired. They were tired of their chains. They needed something to change. And they know that nothing will change if they don't push back. So they pushed. Jacob couldn't push back because he didn't have defense. If he tried to face Laban head on, it's most likely he would lose his life. So Jacob ran. And if not for divine intervention, he would have lost his life. Because Laban had everything to gain. Laban would have just killed him. If Laban killed him, Laban had two daughters, two maids of daughters, 11 grandchildren. And he would have prospered both materially and then family-wise. And Jacob was the only one that would have been eliminated. So that was why Jacob ran. And so God had to step in and tell Laban, do not touch him. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. And so Laban had to let it go. That was the way of handling narrative, running away. Like the sister that said, I couldn't stop going to my lover. So I think if we relocated to another country, I'll be able to stop. That was running away. That wasn't how to handle it. That wasn't how to change the narrative. But she just felt, oh, it's high time I do something about it. When a Christian is going to change the narrative, let me do it this way. When God was going to change the narrative, God showed us a perfect way. And that perfect way is what we are celebrating this Christmas. Bible said, darkness covered the whole earth and God's darkness the people, which means there was a prevailing narrative all over the earth. And it was a narrative of darkness, of God's darkness. And there was no place where the story could be changed. So the devil took hold of the earth from Adam and he locked the earth down. He made sure there were no loopholes because he knew he was an usurper, that the throne he had taken was not his for the owning. But he had taken the throne and he didn't want to let it go. So he did everything to make sure that the darkness covered everywhere. But the wisdom of God the wisdom of God. The Bible said that the foolishness of God is wiser. In his foolishness, God is wiser than the wisest of men. So what did God do? God introduced an element. God introduced himself into a situation of darkness. Every time you want to change the narrative, you have to bring God into that narrative. When God wanted to change the narrative of the earth in Genesis chapter 1, all he did was bring forth the Spirit. The Spirit hovered over the situation, made an assessment, and then resolved the issue. When you want to change the narrative, you must do it with God in the lead. No matter the crisis point where you may find yourself right now, no matter how crazy things may be, you will not hold on to the narrative of, hey, my brother wanted to kill me. You know, when you hear Christians, when they want to talk, why are you not visiting people in your village? Oh, they are the ones that killed my mother in 1986. Oh, they are the ones that killed my father in 1992. Oh, one of my uncles said, if I step into the village, they will kill me. One of my aunts said, if I step into the village, they will finish me. They are fighting my father over land. They are fighting my uncle over palm oil, and a lot of us, the narrative we hold that we are still holding on to now is a narrative of enslavement. It is not a glorious narrative. And you must change this narrative. You must own your own story. You cannot be a victim in the rendering of your own story. You cannot afford to be. So you want to tell your children about your family. Imagine that you sit your children down and then you bring out your family album. And then you say, look at this picture. This is sister so-and-so. She's the one that killed your grandfather. Look at this one. This is brother or uncle so-and-so. It was the one that when we were children used to knock me on the head. I used to say negative things about me that said I will never make it in life. That one is uncle, this and that. When I first wanted to travel to America, I went to meet him that I needed some money. He chased me out of his office. Now, this is sister, this and that. That one was sleeping with everybody, like a street dog, that one. In fact, I don't know, she had 10 children for 10 different men. If that is the story, the narrative that you are going to hand over to your children, you are not doing them any good. You are basically passing bile. You are basically passing bile to them, telling them to continue in the same cesspool of bitterness that the generations before you had held on to. You are going to tell them to hold on to it and continue in it. As long as that is the story they know, that is the future they will know. Let me say that again. As long as that is the story they know, that is the future they will know. Stories matter. History matters. I will never hand over to my children any history that I see will not help their future. I will never. There's a way I do my things. I live by the Spirit. I like the way. I like the order that the Lord will set before me to do my things. If an information is not necessary, it is not necessary. Even if it was true, because I'm now in charge of my own narrative. You are going to marry a wife into the family. Other wives and other people know the family. But this wife, we were determined, I was determined that we will not allow this wife to know anything about any uncle that is a witch or any auntie that is lying in the night. Nobody. Going forward, I am the owner of my own narrative. I will not color this lady's mind with stories that would give her, that would change her perception of people that would give her wrong information about people. No, because she's a Christian, we are Christians, we do not need to let her know that she has enemies when she does not have any enemy. So I was telling that the narrative, I'm going to control it from day one. I'm going to say, this is what she can hear, this is what she cannot hear. You see, because it has to be, if you control the information, it is what you tell people that people know. And then somebody from somewhere was talking to her, and person said, oh, do you know this uncle? Do you know this auntie? And I got angry. I said, who are you? Who are you to be telling the stories of old? Who gave you the audacity to speak? Do not want the narrative to continue. It has to end somewhere. And that was how God ends narrative. If you are going to change evil to good, you don't have to continue to tell the stories of evil. You will start telling the stories of good. On my table, it will stop. The book will stop with me. Over here, my children, going forward, you are children full of light. Your uncles are full of the Holy Spirit. You are children of the light. You are blessed. You are the generation that is peculiar. You are the holy nation the Bible has spoken about. You will be deliberate about changing the narrative. No matter how emotional, no matter how hot you feel about what has happened in the past, you will not sell that pain, that suffering to the coming generation. You will learn as believers that God was very deliberate in using Jesus to change the narrative of the whole world. The day Jesus was born, it was proclaimed offspring of the virgin womb. He was proclaimed God with us. He was proclaimed veiled flesh, veiled in the flesh, the Godhead veiled in the flesh. He was proclaimed incarnate deity. He was proclaimed the Son of righteousness. He was proclaimed light and life to all he brings. He was proclaimed the one that has risen with healing in his wings. He was proclaimed the harbinger of love. God was deliberate in telling us the story of Jesus and cutting Jesus away from the past. You see, because the lineage that was coming before Jesus was a lineage of men who had tasted sin. And even though the Jews were very proud of their genealogy, that they recorded it. Oh, this is the Abraham begotten Bathsheba. Bathsheba begotten this. This one begotten that. They rewrite it. They were trying to trace their lineage to be sure that there are people who have a story and that their lineage was passed on from generation to generation. God said when Jesus came, he didn't belong to any of them. Imagine that. We call him the son of Joseph, but Joseph was not his father. We call him son of David, but he was not related to David by blood. They were born of the same spirit. Jesus used the spirit. God used the spirit to change the narrative of the flesh. He did not allow the things that happened physically. Ah, you are sons of the kings. Your fathers worshipped idols. If you look at the lineage of Jesus, you will see both on the male and the female side, terrible people, terrible people. If you look at the lineage in the flesh, terrible people. You will see prostitutes. You will see kings who had no qualms, who killed with impunity. You will see David, the killer of Uriah. The narrative, if you look at the natural narrative and you tell Jesus, this is what your fathers do, which is what they do in Yoruba culture, they will put it in the congruent of the family so that children can learn of their ancestry. Then they will tell the children, you are the son of the warrior, the one who will snatch the wife of 100 people and kill all of them if they argue with him. You are the one whose father rides donkeys into battle, and with one word, you will kill 1,000 people. You are the one who has, and that narrative, they will put it into a song, and then they will seed it into the coming generation. And they will say, oh, you are the sons of Ekoyi, the people that when they are packing their basket, it is for war. You are people of war. And then they seed it. And then those children, as they are growing up, their grandmother will come to the house and tell them, ah, you are the children of Ekoyi, the warrior. You are the one that every time you are packing a basket, it is not full of fruit. It is not full of gari. Your basket is full of charms of war. When you are angry like this. So when the child is angry, they will say, ah, it's like his father's. When his fathers are angry like that, they will, the same narrative seeded into the children. And then the children grow up believing those things, and then adjusting in their mind to that lie, which now has become their truth. But you have a chance to do better. You now know the truth. So you will not allow your children to continue that narrative. You will not tell them, oh, this is your lineage, this is our culture. No. No, you will not see them. There are some traditions that when you listen to them well, you'll be shocked when they will tell a girl in the family, I've heard a very conversant with Yoruba culture, when they will tell a girl in the family that you do not sit in the house of one man, that you have your children in the house of 5 to 6 men. You move, you shikiri, you move from here to there. You never settle in one place. And then you notice as a girl is growing up, she does not settle in one place. She will stay with this one for a while, move out, stay with that one for a while, move out, stay with this one for a while. And then you are wondering why. And it is because over and over again, there was a narrative that was programmed into our software that was pushing our destiny. Words matter. Stories matter. History matters. For God to change the story of the world, God gave us a story. For God to change Israel, God gave them history. They were coming from slavery. They did not know their history. They were slaves. They did not know. But Moses came and told them, this is who you are. This is your story. You are not born slaves. You are children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are of a rich inheritance. The 400 years you spent in Egypt were as a result of a punishment that Abraham incurred in Genesis 15. You are a holy nation. You are a nation of priests and kings. That was what he told them. Moses had to change the narrative. They had to stop seeing themselves as slaves. They had to start seeing themselves as sons. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a narrative about you that you have eternal life, that you are full of the Holy Spirit, that you have conquered the world. This is the story of love told at Christmas. This is the story of Christ and his redemption for you, that you have conquered death, that you have conquered hell, that you can no longer be afflicted. He said, born that man no more may die. If you look at the hymn now, the Kukaro, who is just sang it a few minutes ago, said, he was born that man no more may die. This is the narrative of eternal life. But when you open your mouth and you say, hey, it's enemy arrow. They arrowed me. It is somebody that prevented me. You are saying that the narrative of heaven is not working for you. Change the narrative. Begin to tell the story that is fitting to your destiny. Begin to share the story that shows the lineage you come from. You are not of this world. You are from above. Begin to tell the story of you from above. Be deliberate about it. Stories matter. Histories matter. He who shares the narrative matter. You matter. The story your children hear matters. The story strangers who come into your life hears matter. The mindset is built into you matter. You have to change the narrative. Don't go about telling the story, oh, in our family, we don't get married. That is not the narrative anymore. You belong to the monarch of the universe. You have a story, a wonderful story of love that reprograms your life and destiny. Don't forget this. When you do the right thing with a story and with history, you change the narrative. This is my message for you as we celebrate this Christmas. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.